Good morning. Good morning. It's your girl, Dr. Shepherd, coming to you with another note from the principal's desk. I want to thank you all for your willingness to join me on today. I felt like the topic that I'm going to discuss is one that needed to be a live recording as opposed to just being uploaded to the podcast. The topic today is on homelessness and the impact that it is having on our scholars in school. And so I wanted to come before you guys this morning so that we can, have this discussion around homelessness and the impact that it is having in our school systems and with our scholars. And I am going to go ahead and get started. Thank you guys for joining me. I welcome you into the space. As I always say, anytime anyone takes the time out to share space, whether you are listening via social media or you are listening in your vehicles or at the gym or wherever you choose to listen to my podcast, I always want to say thank you to my audience. This would not be what it is without you. And so I greatly appreciate you. And so again, tonight's topic or today's topic is homelessness in schools. And I want to really bring some clarity, and I'm going to tell you where it came from. So I was strolling on social media about a week or so ago, and I came across a video of a young mom. She was in another country, but she was a young mom with two young babies. And she was talking about being homeless, but having to like hop from Airbnbs to hotels. And when you look at the Airbnbs and the hotels, they look very upscale. And so I immediately went to the comments. And in the comments, of course, they were really giving her a hard time, saying, you're not really homeless. What happened to the days? Clearly homelessness looks different than it did from what I know it. I know homelessness to be you actually are living on the streets, not being able to afford staying in luxury hotels. Just some very harsh comments. And it made me think, like, you know what? There is a huge stigma around homelessness. And so I just wanted to take the time just to address what homelessness is, okay? And especially in the context of when it comes to students in school. And so when you're looking at homelessness in schools and how we essentially categorize or identify homelessness within a school system is essentially when a scholar lacks a regular and adequate nighttime residence. So this can include living in temporary housing, shelters, living in their vehicles, motels, hotels, Airbnbs, staying with family. Now, this last one is going to trip a lot of people up, because when I learned of it myself, it actually had me like, wait, what? Even if a child has both of their parents, right? But legally, on paper, they are with one parent. Well, let's say that parent, for instance, the mom. Let's say the mom has custody, legal custody, right? Well, mom has hardship and has reached a point where she can no longer really care for the child or the children, right? When she reaches out to dad and is like, dad, I need you to take, baby girl, baby boy for X amount of time to get myself together. Although that other parent is the biological parent, legally, the child is in the custody of the mom, right? So when that other parent, when the dad takes the child in, even though it's his child, the child is still considered homeless. I know you're probably looking at me the same way I did when I first heard about it. And so there, as you can see, there's a lot of things that can constitute the label of homelessness, right? And so, like, now that we have that out of the way, right, let's talk about how homelessness impacts students, right? And how it impacts our scholars. When a child is homeless, guys, the last thing on their mind is academics. And so this portion is for all of my people in education, okay? When you learn that there is hardship in a child's home, when you learn that a child is homeless, you ragging them every day about where's your homework, why you coming in here sleeping all the time, I don't play that, you gonna have to go up in here, we learn, we do this. I'm gonna put it to you this way. When you as an adult are going through something, you are not your best self. And that is for everyone. Because we really like to pretend that even when we're going through, we show up our best selves. And the reality of it is, we don't. You become shorter with people. You become anxious. You become, that happen to a person in their body when it's almost like a flight or fright mode, right? And so when you're going through as an adult and you control your life, think about what a child is going through who already is dealing with hormones and they are not in control of their life. We as educators, as an administrator, as a district, as a state, as a world, have to do better with the expectations that we put on those who, one, do not control their lives. So I'm talking about children, right? Who are in the care of an adult. We hope they are, because the reality of it is we do have a lot of children also raising themselves because their parents haven't quite figured it out, okay? But we have to be a little bit more empathetic, and we as a nation have to figure out what are some alternatives? What are some things that we can do in schools to make it still a good experience for babies who are coming to probably the only consistent place they have in their lives? Okay? We all, and that charges also to me as an administrator, because we are faced with, okay, attendance, and we have to answer for when babies aren't in school. And if you can go back to a couple podcasts prior where I talked about that. We are held accountable to the scores, so it is frustrating when you have children not giving it their all, yet those scores are attached to your school, your name, your legacy, right? And we would love to live in a world where we say scores don't matter, tests don't matter, grades don't matter, but that's not our world. And until that changes, there are those responsibilities and layers that are placed on schools, and it doesn't change the fact that babies are really, truly just out here trying to survive, right? Especially if they don't have consistent living. So that little tidbit is for my educational friends, regardless of your capacity. We have to channel an empathetic lens when it comes to babies who are without, and get down to the reality of they do not want, the last thing on their mind is multiplication, division. You know, they're hungry. They are, they're tired. They are they're thinking about, when I leave here, where are we going to be staying at tonight, right? For those that live with other family members, and here's what I'm going to say to all families, because one thing that say in blood is thicker than water is not true. Some of our best relationships are with families we do not choose, right? People who were once strangers who are now family and friends. But when you make the decision that you want to help a family and you take a family in, treating them like trash, making them feel like they're the help. Oh, well, you staying here, you need to be doing something, clean and doing something. Now, do I believe in like equal share and everybody has to participate in cleaning and stuff? Yes. That's why I look the way I do this morning, because Saturdays are chore mornings here in my home. And my children know that. And so but it's a collective effort of let's get it done together. So if you are living with someone, family, you're the one that offered to let them in, stealing their food, being mean, treating them like they're dirt, like they're scum, not okay. Not okay. And you too are also a part of the problem. Mental health is real. And so when you're already have a lack when it comes to your home, and then you're staying with someone, or you're in a school and, you know, you got people coming at you left and right, it can cause like a major strain mentally, right? And so our job, what we're called to do, especially if you're in Christ, is we're called to love our brothers and sisters. We are called to love others better than ourselves. We're called to treat others better than we even do ourselves. But after COVID, we became a world of it's about me, 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 and my mental health and my and what I need and what I got to do. And we now have lost that empathy that was once there for others. Okay. And so that's a charge for all of us of get out of your way, get out of your head. It's not about you. It's not about how much you can do and how much you have. We are called to help others. And so I'm also going to talk about ways that you can get involved as a community to help within the schools, because I'm telling you, homelessness is real, it is big, and it is growing daily, especially in those bigger cities, because what are they trying to do? They are pricing out. You can be a person who starts out in a nice home, and just off taxes alone, just off the rate of landlords increasing rent, can have you out within a year of even moving into the place, right? Those things are real, y'all. And so no matter how you got it going on, every last one of us are 3 to 5 paychecks away from being homeless ourselves. And that's a reality. That's even what I tell myself, no matter how much investments or whatever I have going on, to stay humble, baby girl, any moment. Anything could shift in your life. And that's what I'm saying to you all. Any moment, anything could shift in your life. And before you know it, you are also on the other side. And so ways that we can be empathetic, showing compassion, kindness, love, genuine concern for people is a great start, especially for children. Okay, when a child is in school and they are dealing with, and they're homeless, right? They come in. I already said their focus isn't on academics. It's on food. It's on hygiene. It's on rest. It's not them being singled out because of their situation. I have seen over the years how badly children treat others based on their clothes, shoes, hair, etc., right? That's why a lot of schools moved to being uniform schools. It was to lessen the bullying. So now if we all look alike, well, there's nothing you could talk about because we're both essentially wearing the same thing. But guess what? It doesn't stop, because now they find something to talk about with the hair, with the shoes. Your jewelry is messing up. I see that it says I have slow connection, so I'm going to give it a minute. Okay, your jewelry is messing up, turning, so that's not real. Oh, look at your purse. Oh, you don't have the latest phone. Like, kids are really cruel. But one thing I do know, kids don't just wake up one day being cruel. That comes from parenting. That comes from what is being put in, because what is put in you is what comes out. I don't care how much you sit in church. I don't care how much you pray and you reading your word and you doing this, that, and the third. I don't care how much you out here in the streets and you ain't doing none of the spiritual stuff. What you put in you is what comes out. And so as parents, what we put and impart into our children is how they show up. And so if we want to create a world where our kids are kind, guess what we have to put in them? Kindness. If we want to create a world where our kids show compassion and know what compassion is, guess what we have to put in them? Compassion. I'm not telling you, because I do. I get on my kids, right? But there is a balance, because the same way I get on my kids, there is an explanation of why. And it is I love you. It is a conversation. We're missing the conversation piece of, you just got in trouble, I'm taking your phone, and here is why. Then we don't ever tell what they can do to earn it back. It's just, give it here. Then you're always reminding your kids, you know, what your life was before they got there. Or you're constantly acting as if it's a problem to provide for their needs when they're yours. And so when I see kids bullying, when I see kids talking about other kids, it absolutely is a direct reflection on the parent. I already know as a school official what is happening at home. Because for you, you're projecting what is being put inside of you. And so parents, if you don't want bullies, guess what you're going to have to stop doing? Being a bully. You're going to have to start dealing with some of that trauma that you have. So that you create better for your kids. And I'm not preaching to people about something that I also didn't do. I knew I wanted a different childhood experience for my children. Which is one, why I waited so long to have them. And two, why I got therapy. Why I not only got therapy, but I began to surround myself with other women who had overcome some challenges. And I allowed them to pour in so I can learn from them so I, as a mom, didn't make the same mistakes. I addressed and dealt with and talked to both my mother and father to get a why behind some of their decisions. I did work. And that's what I'm charging you to do. Regardless of where you're at right now, you can still do the work to change the outcome for your kids. Okay, so when I talk about, when I say hygiene, so we know that those who do not have a home, so those who are living in their cars or on the street, they do not have readiness, availability to showers and stuff, right? Unless they're going to the gym or somewhere close where they can go in and take a shower without people saying something to them. But you can also know their clothes. So it doesn't matter how much clean you are. If your clothes have a stench on you, then guess what? It still carries. And so you have kids who are just cruel. You have adults who are cruel. Oh, they stink. Oh, they need to do something about it. How about you talk to them and you teach them and you help them? Find out what's going on and how you can help them in terms of getting, especially little girls. Okay? At school, we are working hard to ensure that scholars are having their needs met. But that can't just be on the schools. Let me say that again. That can't just be on the schools. It takes a true village. It takes a community. It takes parent involvement in order to meet all the needs of kids, in order to meet the whole child. In education, we've been talking about the whole child for years, that social and emotional learning. But guess what? I don't care how many programs are created on it. I don't care how many books are created on it, presentations, professional development. I don't care how many courses you take. It takes everyone in order for there to be a true positive impact in a child's life, right? And so I say we have a lot of churches. Depending on the city you're in, you can find about a good 2 to 3 on every street corner. You have different community buildings, community centers. You have a lot of businesses. I am always going to charge the community to get involved when it comes to helping the schools, especially Title I schools, because no matter where you live, they are everywhere. Okay, and some ways that you can help, especially when it comes to homelessness, right? We have amazing social workers, counselors who work to provide resources about shelter and different places, but ways that you can also get involved. It's not always just about cutting a check. Okay, let me address that. Checks are nice. Checks are welcomed. Checks are easier because you can say, hey, I'm not sure what the school may need, but here I just want to bless you guys with some money and trust and hope that you're using it for the right thing, right? And a lot of schools, majority of the schools are. You do have your outliers of people who have that, you know, that still in spirit on them. But for the most part, people really are genuinely using the money appropriately, right? But let's say you don't have a check that you can write. You can go and purchase a bunch of canned goods, non-perishable items, and donate them to the school. That's a way to help. You can, what happens is when those donations come in, then we have bags. And we have families that we reach out to, those families that we know are homeless or there's a humongous financial strain, and we offer those bags to them. And it's food that can help get them through the week, right? It's something. When it comes to hygiene, especially in middle and high school, we have a lot of young ladies who are starting their cycles, and a lot of young ladies do not know how to properly clean themselves. They do not know what they're supposed to do, how to dispose of their feminine products. And so I say goodie bags. And in those goodie bags, or care packages, whatever you want to call them, where you can go to Walmart, Dollar Tree, Dollars or wherever, and just buy like the soap, the deodorant, the toothpaste, the toothbrushes, pads and different things, and put them in little Ziploc bags. And begin donating those to the school on a monthly basis. If you can't do a monthly basis, then, you know, hey, at least two or three times out the year, you know that coming from my school, my organization, my church, my business, whatever, that I am going to bless your school with these items. Those things go a long way. If you are, there are a lot of programs, a lot of people I know who are running programs for kids or for girls, mentorship programs. How about you offer your services for free sometimes without always having to charge families these astronomical prices and then wondering why the after school programs are starting to close down? Because nobody can afford the fees. Or, oh, you know, I want to help. And so, you know, you can offer one or two free classes a month to young ladies or to the men, to young boys, to talk to them also about hygiene. These are things that we do in the school, y'all. But guess what? The community also needs to get involved and help. And yes, I'm talking about homelessness, but do know, no matter the topic I'm talking about, there will always be a charge for the community to get involved in their schools. Because what will happen is your uninvolvement then creates children who become adults, or they're still kids who are out there now getting involved in stuff that they're not supposed to. It's been long said, long ago, even when I was growing up, about gangs and how they take them in. But you get mad at the gangs, but you don't ever try to figure out how they get, because it's a belonging. They feel belong. They feel a sense of belonging. That's why they enter into the gangs. Even if they know that the mess they're doing is wrong, it's a sense of belonging. And so if you want to keep and help prevent those things, then offer more programs. Partner with the schools. Exposure is good. We don't know much about a barter system, because everything is about what you pay me, what I'm paying you. But you can take your services and give them to the school. Well, guess what? Now the school is seeing a difference in kids, and now you have a testimony, testimonials that can now get out there, and you will be referred to other schools and other things. Then you're now able to take your services out there even the more, and there will be people who are willing to pay. You will get schools who are financially sound. That's another thing. When it comes to homelessness, and I just told you some of the things that we already do at the school, people think, well, the school has money, all these little grants and all the federal funding and stuff, but this is true. And that money is earmarked. So it's not an opportunity where we just have free money to do whatever we want to do with. We don't. That money is earmarked. And so as much as I would love to write a family a check for $10,000 and say, I know it's not a lot, especially not in this day and time, but if this can help you at least get an apartment or something, or if you have to live in hotels, if it can help you get through a year so that that's something you don't have to focus on, we would do that. But we can't. And that is why we need our community. That is why we need our churches. And so the next business meeting you guys have and you're like, man, what can we do? How can we get involved? How can we give back? That is something, care packages for girls and boys. And you put them in little Ziploc bags and you can drop them off to the social worker, to the counselor, to the principal, whoever, right? And we will give those out to scholars that are in need. Food, non-perishable items. Or if you want to make plates, because everybody loves to cook and sell a plate. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when you have leftovers, how about donate them to the school and see if there is a family at the school who could use an extra meal. If there's children at the school who could be maybe pulled out of class to get an extra little snack or something that they can have. I know I may have sound like I was yelling, and it's because I'm very passionate. I am passionate about children, the elderly, and homeless people. And that has always been my passion. I used to get, people used to be like, girl, you are crazy out there talking to the homeless people. But I want to understand their story. Because some people, there are quite a few people who have chosen to be homeless. It's just easier for them. It's just easy. They like being free. They like not being tied down with bills and different things like that, right? There are some who were executives, who were bosses, who had like it going on, and life hit hard and they lost everything. There are children who were thriving and their families got hit and they lost everything. Now they're in shelters. Now they're sleeping in their cars. Life happens to us all. And for anyone who hasn't experienced homelessness, you thank God. But because it is only by the grace of God that is not all of us. Right? I want to say this and then I'm going to go. Stop looking at the outward appearance of people, especially children, and making it your determining decision on whether or not you want to help a child because they look like they have it together, right? I had to challenge my own self in this belief as well. But that goes back to that judging those books by the cover. We don't like it. I know I didn't. I don't like when people make an assumption about me and they don't talk to me, right? But don't think that just because you have children who are very talented, they can do hair, they can do nails, but yet they live in on somebody else's couch or they're living in the shelter. You see their hair done. Oh, if your mom and them get your hair done, then you should be able to pay for this. We see them in name brand shoes, not knowing that it was given to them down from another family member or from a friend, or heck, some of them have raided the Goodwill boxes or donation boxes that you see around. They've raided those to find some things to put on. So stop looking at people and saying, oh, well, they look like they're good. They look like they're good to me. You know how many people are being sexually abused, raped, who you look at them and they all together, but on the inside they're dying. At home, all hell is breaking loose. But you just looking on the outside. We have to stop doing that. We really do. We have to stop doing that. And we have to be a people that begins to look at and hear the heart and the stories of people. When you see that someone is in need, just offer a helping hand. And hear me, there are some real thieves out here. There are some people pretending. I know 2020 did a story on it. I know What Would You Do did a story on it. There are truly a lot. There are people who are out here scamming and scheming. are standing out there acting like they're homeless and they're really not. And guess what? That's between them and God. Because one thing I know about my Abba Father is he ain't gonna let you sit out here and do people wrong for long and you think that ain't nothing gonna happen, that it's gonna fly. It ain't. It's not gonna happen. Our job isn't to worry about who telling the truth and who's not. Our job is to be his hands and feet within the earth. Our job is to help people in any way that we can. Just the other day, I had to go get my license renewed. And I brought my children with me. We stood in that line for hours. It was a little chillier that morning. And, you know, I was just like, man, it was that hard decision of, do you leave this line to take, you know, go in or whatever. But we stuck it out. And this older lady was coming out of the DMV and she saw my daughter and she was like, she's cold. And I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, I have something in my car. And she asked my son to go with her. And she went to her car and she brought back a coat for me and a blanket for my throw, knitted too, right, for my daughter. She told my son to make sure you continue doing good in school. And she said, y'all can have these. My daughter wrapped up. I didn't put the jacket on because I was cute. And if you know anything about me, I'm not a coat jacket girl, especially if I got on like a little cute a cute dress or whatever. I shouldn't say little because everybody know my dresses be long or whatever. No, anywho. And so I didn't put it on, but my son ended up wearing the jacket. And he was like, well, how are we going to give it back to her? And I said, baby, she told us to keep it. And he said, that was really nice of her, Mom. Like, that was kind. I said, exactly. And God is going to bless her. That was compassion. That wasn't thinking of, oh, I don't want to give up this good blanket and this good coat, you know, just because they're a little chilly. She gave it and didn't think twice and went on about her business. God is going to bless her. That is what we're called to do. It doesn't have to be big. We are all going through some things right now financially in this world. And I am here to tell you it is going to get worse. I am here to tell you it is going to get worse. I am here to tell you that you might be in a home today and homeless next year. And so, sow kindness now. Sow kindness now. It may not be money. You have a garden and you want to bless somebody with some of your tomatoes and cucumbers that you have. You have a case of water and you just want to bless people with a bottle of water. Kindness goes a long way. In our schools, we have more babies who are homeless in this day and age than we have ever experienced in our life. I travel to different countries. And so hear me. Yes, we should want to help everyone in the world. What I am charging you is please start in your own backyard first. Partner with a Title I school within your community and start there first. Then go save the world. But start there first. We have five-year-olds whose teeth are just, I'm getting emotional, badly damaged because of dental, and they can't afford dental. So I know a lot of Title I schools have like the free dental buses that come and the free eyeglasses that come, and I pray those programs never go out, because without those programs, we have a lot of babies who wouldn't be able to see. Because their parents can't afford to get them glasses and they desperately need them. Without those free mobile dental clinics and stuff, without them, we have a lot of children who would never, ever get the proper care they need for their teeth, for their gums. Just some simple, a little toothbrush and toothpaste. A donation of that is helpful. And then you don't have to go and take pictures and broadcast to the world that you just gave and helped a family, or that you just gave your care packages to some children who needed it. That's another part of the problem of why you have so many families and children who are homeless, who are struggling, but they don't say nothing because they don't want to be on everybody's social media pages showing that you gave them something. The Bible talks about that too. And so all them applause you got, that's the only applause you're going to get. I like the applauses that come from God. I like his blessings for the blessings and the things I do for others that no one ever sees, as opposed to the applause of man. Because one thing about man is the same lips that appraise you will be the exact same ones that curse you. So don't get caught up on the praises and the applause of men. Make sure you are getting the applause and recognition from God. That's all I have for you guys on today. Thank you so much again for joining me. You could have been anywhere else, and you chose to spend this time with me. Get involved in your local schools. Find out ways you can help. Schedule a meeting. Send an email. Getting to that meeting with the principal, the social workers, the counselors, and find out what small act of kindness you can do to help within your schools, okay? And let's help as much as possible make a difference in those children's lives who unfortunately right now don't have a consistent living space. But they're still children. They still deserve joy and happiness and the freedom of being a child. And so any donations or gifts or things that you do, help make that reality a little bit better. Okay? So, this is Dr. Shepherd, and this has been another note from the principal's desk. Please stay tuned for next Friday at 5:30 p.m. as I come back to you with a whole new topic. Be blessed. Peace.